Worship you, Lord.
We exalt you.
In Jesus' precious name, we give thanks.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, thank you because early in the morning the people came for to hear you. We have come to hear you this morning.
Yes, Lord.
Speak to us, Lord. Let your word have its free course. Let your word be glorified amongst your people. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth.
Amen.
Amen. Once again, I welcome you to your year of awesome deeds.
Amen.
Can I hear you say with me, 2021 is my year for awesome deeds.
2021 is my year for awesome deeds.
Will you say that with confidence?
2021 is my year for awesome deeds.
Say it with authority.
2021 is my year for awesome deeds.
Praise the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
We give God praise. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Blessed be God. Songs of Solomon.
Yes.
Songs of Solomon. This year, I'm praying and I'm believing God with you that prompt obedience, prompt response will become your attitude and your character.
Amen.
Somebody say prompt response.
Prompt response.
You see, when God shows you something from his word, a revelation, from the preaching, and you don't respond immediately, it goes away. Nobody knocks forever. If I come to your house, I push the doorbell, and it's ringing, and nobody comes to answer the door, eventually I will leave. It is the same thing with God. God comes to you with a revelation, with an insight, and you just let it slip by. It is very, very dangerous. It is not good. Now, look at Songs of Solomon. Let's draw an example from there. Songs of Solomon, chapter 5. I'll read from beginning from verse 2. I slept, but my heart was awake. A sound, my beloved is knocking. Open to me, my sister and my love, my dove, my perfect one. For my head is wet with dew, my locks with the drops of the night. I've taken off my garment. How could I put it on again? I have bathed my feet. How could I soil them? My beloved put his hand by the latch that is on the doorknob, and my heart yearned for him. I rose to open to my beloved, and my hands dripped with myrrh, and my fingers with liquid myrrh on the handles of the bolt. I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had turned and was gone. My soul failed when he spoke. I sought him, but find him not. I called him, but he gave no answer. The watchman find me. The watchman found me as they went about the city. They struck me. They wounded me. They took away my mantle. Those watchmen of the walls. Did you see what happened? Because this lady hesitated. Because she delayed. The blessing left. And she was even struck in the process of trying to find the blessing. That shall not be our testimony in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
That shall not be our testimony in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Rather, our testimony will be like that of our father, Abraham. The Bible says we are the seeds of Abraham. We are the descendants of Abraham. Look at it. Abraham is a good example of a man that responded to God in prompt obedience. Genesis chapter 12. God said to Abraham, depart from your country. What happened? Abraham departed immediately. He didn't wait. He didn't call a council. He didn't call anybody to discuss it with. That is the kind of father you and I have. And if you must partake in the blessing of Abraham, you must partake in the faith of Abraham. Abraham was a man that obeyed God promptly. Genesis chapter 17, God came to Abraham and he said to Abraham, my covenant will be with you, and this is my covenant, that you circumcise yourself and every male child that is born in your house, bought with your money, that lives with you. The Bible says, the same day, Abraham first of all circumcised himself, and then he circumcised every male child, every male man in his household. Prompt obedience is so important. If you want to do it your time, you may miss it. Now, can you imagine when Elisha said to Naaman, go dip yourself into the Jordan 7 times. And he said, oh, you know what? I have executive meeting. Let me go attend to the meeting first in Syria, and then I will come back later. I tell you the truth, he wouldn't have gotten his miracle. He wouldn't have gotten the miracle. It is so important that you give prompt obedience to the revelation that God is bringing your way. When God shows you something, obey promptly, because your blessing is in the obedience. Not just delayed obedience, but prompt obedience. When the anointing is there, when the grace is there, it's so important. Look at it. Genesis chapter 22. God came again to Abraham. He said, Abraham, take now thy son, thy only son, Isaac, whom thou love. God qualified it. And go to a mountain that I will show to you and sacrifice him. God came to Abraham in the night and told Abraham this. The next morning, Abraham took Isaac and he was on his way to sacrifice that boy. He didn't even discuss with his wife. He didn't discuss with her. Prompt obedience is very, very important. Abraham wasted no time in obeying God. From this day forward, you will not waste time in obeying God.
Amen.
Can I hear that amen better?
Amen.
Can I hear that amen better?
Amen.
Because prompt response to God is vital to maximize the blessing that is in the word of God. Prompt response is very, very vital if you are going to maximize the blessings that is in the word of God. Hallelujah. Blessed be God. Today, we are looking at benefits of fasting. As we round up the fasting today, we are looking at part 3. Specifically, we are looking at why fasting is relevant for these last days. Why fasting is relevant for these last days. Virtually, all God has said in his word as a blessing to you and I requires fasting and prayer for them to be realized. Everything God said in his word requires fasting, requires prayer for them to be realized. These two things go hand in hand. It is a force when mixed with faith. These three things, when mixed together, constitute a force that the enemy cannot disgain or gainsay. Faith, prayer with fasting. That's what Jesus said. It is a formula that Jesus gave. Hallelujah. You know, Jesus said something. Jesus said, that is why Jesus said this, that then shall they fast in those days. They shall fast in those days. Talking of now. We are in the days of fasting in the church of Jesus Christ. That's why I pity the pastor that will not fast. I feel for the members that will not fast. Because Jesus said it. Your blessings, the blessings that God has reserved for you, without fasting and prayer, you cannot access them. Because the Bible says, it says, great doors of opportunity, great doors of blessings are open before me. They are just right before me. But the Bible says there are many adversaries. Many adversaries to resist your entering the doors that God has opened before you. Look at what Jesus said, talking about fasting in the days that we are. Mark chapter 2, verse 18 to 20. The disciples of John and of the Pharisees were fasting. Then they came to Jesus and said to him, why do the disciples of John and the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast? Verse 19, and Jesus said to them, can the friends of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. But look at verse 20. But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them. Then will they fast in those days. Then will they fast in those days. So you see, Jesus expects us to fast now because he has been taken away. Jesus has been taken away. He expects us to fast in these days. The same thing is said in the book of Luke chapter 5, verse 33 to 35. The same thing is said there. Luke chapter 5, verse 33 to 35. And if you read Matthew chapter 9, verse 14 to 15, the same thing is said there. Now, if the gospel, if the scripture recorded this thing in three versions so that you can see the importance of it, in three of the gospel, it is stated there so you can see the importance of it. Jesus said, then will they fast in those days. And we are in that day that Jesus talked about. We are in the last days. And the last days church is a church that must engage in fasting and praying. Fasting and praying. It is a necessity in the body of Christ. Why? Because the end time program and agenda of God requires fasting before realization. God has an end time program for you and I. It's there in the Bible. We are going to look at it. Amen. Amen. For us to be part of that glorious army that God talked about in Joel, fasting and prayer is a must. It's not an option. That's why Jesus said, when you fast. He didn't say if you fast. Fasting is not an option. Thank God for this extensive, thank God for this concentrated fasting that we have had from January 4th. Ending today, 24th, 21 days. Thank God for it. But we are still going to be fasting periodically. That's why every week we take one day to fast. And every first 3 days in the month, beginning from Wednesday, of every month, we also dedicate it to fasting and prayer. Because why? Fasting and prayer is necessary for the agenda and program of God for your life and my life to be realized. Look at it. Psalms 110, verse 3. Your people shall be willing in the day of your power. If you don't generate power, people will not be willing. You need to generate power. And from the word of God, you can see that prayer is one of the ways we generate power. Fasting is one of the ways we generate power when coupled with the right knowledge. That's where faith comes in. You grow in power as you fast and pray. And this enables you and I to rule in the midst of our enemies. As you fast and pray, you grow in power. I tell you the truth. When you stay before the Lord, you fast, you pray in His word, you are growing in power. You are growing in the power of God. And if you don't grow in power, the enemies cannot submit themselves to you. Verse 2 of that same chapter where we read, the Bible says, the Lord shall send the rod of your strength out of Zion. Rule in the midst of your enemies. Did you see that? We are to rule in the midst of our enemies. In spite of what the enemy is doing, God expects you and I to be in charge by taking authority and ruling in the midst of our enemies. And I tell you the truth, power is required to rule in the midst of your enemies. Reason for that is that the enemy only submits to power. The enemy does not submit to grammar. He submits to power. Look at that. Seven sons of Sceva. Now, these were sons of a priest. They went to a demonic man. The man had demons. They went to the man. They say, hey, come here, you madman. He said, demons, come out of this man. The demons that Paul preached, come out of him. Now, he said, how did he say that guy again? He said, in the name of Jesus that Paul preached, come out of this man. The man looked at them. He said, Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. But who are you? Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. Who are you? Now, listen to me. That demon pounced on those guys. Why? Because demons don't listen to grammar. And there are demons that has been assigned to every nation. There are demons that has been assigned to every territory. There are demons that has been assigned to individuals. That is why you must be on guard. You must be on the word. You must follow the principle of God. Periodically, you engage the Spirit of God. The enemy will only submit to power, not to grammar. Not to grammar. The enemy submits to power. Look at it. Let's look at that in Psalms 66, verse 3. Say unto God, how terrible art thou in thy works. Through the greatness of thy power shall thy enemies submit themselves to thee. Now, if the enemy submits to God because of God's power, why do you think they will submit to you any other way? They will only submit to you through the power that is at work in your life. The enemy will only submit to you through the power that is at work in your life. The enemy will not surrender to your emotions. The enemy will not surrender to your crying. The enemy will not surrender to your needs. The enemy only surrenders to the power that is at work in you. That is why you must generate this power. You generate it. You generate it by fasting and praying, coupled with your faith. That's what Jesus said. You know, the disciples, they came to Jesus. He said, why could we not cast that devil out? Jesus said, because of your unbelief. That's the number one. That's where faith comes. Because of your unbelief. He said, I say unto you, if you have faith as small as this grain of mustard seed, if you say to this mountain, be thou removed and plucked into the sea, it shall be so. He said, however, this kind cometh not, but by fasting and praying. So it is necessary. Thank God we still have some few hours in the day before the fast is broken. You know, something happened in the book. Jesus went and hired laborers in the morning. He hired some in the afternoon. He hired some in the evening. He hired some in the night. Some worked only 1 hour, while some worked 11 hours. But guess what? He gave all of them the same amount. So it is not just the time you join that matters. It is very, very important. If you join the fast now and take it serious, even this last moment, God can deliver to you the desires of your heart. That's why, please, people of God, I'm encouraging you not to take the last few hours of today seriously. After the message, lock yourself in and seek the face of the Lord. And then come out and break with the communion. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Look at Psalm 63, verse 1 and 2. Oh God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh, that is where fasting comes in. My flesh longs for you in a dry and a thirsty land where there is no water. So I look for you in the sanctuary to see your power, to see your power. You see, when you long for him, when you crave for, when you thirst for him, his power is released into your life. His power is released into your life. In these last days, one of the things that will be in super, one of the things that will be in display according to God's agenda is supernatural wealth. Somebody say supernatural wealth.
Supernatural wealth.
Glory to God. This will be so strong in the body of Christ in the last days. Supernatural wealth. From scripture, it is clear that the last days church will be supernaturally wealthy. The last days church. And we are that church. Like I said last Sunday, we are in the golden era of the church. So rise up. Get on board, please. Get on board. The cloud of glory is moving. Let's move with the cloud. Let's not be left behind. And this requires empowerment. Supernatural wealth requires empowerment. And power answers to fasting and praying. Power answers to fasting and praying. I have seen it in my little Christian life. Especially when you fast aright, like I've mentioned to us during the course of this teaching. And praying aright, power will be the end result of what you are praying for. And power is required to trample on the works of Satan. Jesus said, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. The church of Jesus Christ in these last days is going to be a super wealthy church. So get set, young men. Get set in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Don't say you are too young. Just get set for God. Because God is ready. God is ready.
Amen.
Amen. But listen to me. Satan is completely against the church of God. The wealth of God. The wealth of the church. Satan is completely against the wealth of the church. He is completely against the wealth of God's people. Completely. That's why you see so many people in the church, they are poor. Because Satan is against them and they don't even know that it is Satan that is blocking their ways. You know, I remember 1990, I was working on an oil rig. And I was ministering, I was trying to preach to a young man from Scotland. And he said, This gospel you are preaching, why are Christians generally poor? Why are they generally poor? That's what he said. He said, I don't want to hear this gospel. My father is a Christian and he's poor. His uncles and his relatives, they are all Christians and they are poor. I'm not a Christian, but I'm the one taking care of my father. When I heard his words, I said, I was just a new Christian then. I remember saying to him, they are poor because they don't know their rights. And that is the truth. Satan has blinded their eyes so that they won't know what belongs to them. That is where fasting and praying comes. It is very, very important because the wealth of the church means the expansion of the kingdom of God on earth. When the church prospers, it means the kingdom of God will be expanding. The kingdom of God will be expanding. And it takes power to step into that realm of supernatural wealth. It takes power. It doesn't come by joke. It takes power. Look at your neighbor and say, it takes power.
It takes power.
Please say it with confidence.
It takes power.
Say it one more time.
It takes power.
Glory to God. And from the Bible, we have noticed that God's power is inside his word. The power of God is inside the word of God. Romans chapter 1 verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes. It is the power of God. The gospel carries the power of God. The word of God, which is the gospel, it carries the power of God. And so many, Satan has blinded the minds of people. He had blinded their eyes from the power that is in the world that empowers them for wealth. It is the power in the world that empowers people for wealth. You know, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, it says, whose minds the God of this age has blinded. He's blinded their mind. Jesus is Lord. Many believers are held down in lack and poverty because they can't see the mystery. Remember I said to us, I don't know if it was yesterday, I think yesterday, that Christianity is a mystery. How can the blood of Jesus save you from sin? Blood of Jesus that died 2,000 years ago, the blood would have dried up. That is a carnal mind speaking. But Christianity is a mystery. The blood is still flowing. The blood is like a fountain that washed away my sins, washed away your sins. That's why it's a mystery. Are you seeing that? So, you see, many believers are held down and in lack and poverty because they can't see the mystery that empowers them for wealth. They can't see it. Most of the time, they are the ones that will even misinterpret the word of God. They are the ones that will think the pastor is trying to play a smart one on them. He said, you know, you better be careful. They are the ones that thinks that the pastor is trying to be smart on them. No, the pastor is not trying to be smart on you. You need to be smart and outsmart the devil. Your prosperity is not in what you receive, but it's in what you give. Let me say it again. Your whatever you receive is not what makes you prosperous. What makes you prosperous is in what you give. It is in what you give. Your prosperity is in what you give. So you see some people say, what I have is not enough. And you saying I should give? It is in what you give that makes you. It is very, very important. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 8. The Bible says, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. See that word again? Power to get wealth. Deuteronomy chapter 8 verse 18. So there is the power element when it comes to wealth, supernatural wealth, there is the power angle when it comes to supernatural wealth. And God gives the power to get wealth, that and that power is hidden in the covenant. In the covenant. That's why you must get and you must embrace the covenant of God. You must embrace the covenant of God. Embrace it. Because in that covenant is hidden the power to get wealth. So please understand the covenant and complying, understanding the covenant and complying with the covenant grants you access to this supernatural wealth we are talking about. Because in these last days, God is ready to bless his church. Listen to me, you are going to have a lot of enemies, though. There's no doubt, but don't be afraid of your enemies. As long as you are following God, your enemies are irrelevant. As long as you are following God, your enemies are irrelevant. So please, be strong in your covenant walk with God, and your enemies will be helpless. Be strong in your covenant walk with God. Look at Psalm 23 verse 5. Psalm 23 verse 5. He said, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And my cup runneth over. Did you see that? In the presence of your enemies, God will prepare a table. They will be looking and they cannot do anything to you. Why? Because you are following God. So it is very, very important that you follow God in these last days. That's why it is so important. You know, we'll be looking at this on Wednesday. God was telling Peter, he said, Peter, pray. Peter said, look, you don't know me. Peter was boasting. Peter was determined. And you know the truth? Peter meant every word he was saying. But Jesus was saying to Peter, Peter, this thing is more than physical. It is spiritual. The enemy has determined to sieve you so that he can destroy you. He said, but I've prayed for you that your faith fail not. That's the reason Peter failed. Peter thought it was a physical thing that, you know, Peter was a very physical man. He was strong. He was bold. He was confident. And you know, you understand all those attributes, very good attributes, but those things are not enough. So it doesn't matter how smart you are. It doesn't matter how wise you are. It is very, very important that you succumb, you surrender to the mystery of prayer and fasting with your faith leading the way for supernatural wealth to be given to you. Let's look at Malachi chapter 3, verse 17 to 18, talking about the mystery of tithing. In the last days, he said, they shall be mine. God, this is God talking now. They shall be mine, verse 17, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make my jewels. Did you see that? We are the jewels of God, the best. I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. So it is very, very important that we begin to serve God with our finances. He said, then you shall descend between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who serves God not, and one who does not serve him. For behold, chapter 4, for behold, the day is coming, and I tell you the truth, we are in that day right now. Chapter 4, verse 1 to 2 of Malachi. He said, for behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, and I tell you the truth, the earth is burning right now. The earth, in fact, has been burning for some time. And it's continued to burn. Jesus is coming soon. Buckle up, please. Buckle up. He says, for behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, and all the proud, all those ones are saying, hey, it doesn't matter. Hey, what are they saying? It doesn't matter. The Bible says all the proud, yea, All who do wickedly will be stubble. Stubble. Do you know what is stubble? Fire lick stubble up. That's what happened to stubble. And the day which is coming shall burn them up. Did you see that? It shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, that will leave them neither root nor branch. It will not leave root for them. It will leave no branch for them. They will be burnt completely. Why? Because they say, I'll forget that thing. It is the word of God they are calling that thing. He said, but to you who fear my name, that is why we must walk in the fear of the Lord. We shall be looking at that on Wednesday. He said, but to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go out and grow fat like stalls fed calves. That is your portion in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth.
Amen.
With healings in his wings, he shall cover you.
Amen.
Please receive grace to be steadfast in your financial stewardship in the kingdom. Receive grace. Receive grace. The tithe of 1,000 naira is $1,000 is $100. The tithe of $5,000 is not $100. So don't play games with God. Do not play games with God. He wants to bless you. He wants to increase you. That is why it's so important. The good news is that God has not ordained anyone to be poor. No, he has not ordained anyone to be poor. No, not at all. He has not. He didn't ordain anyone to be poor. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 9. He said, for our sake he became poor. Jesus himself became poor for our sake. So that we, through his poverty, might be rich. Supernatural wealth is coming your way this year. Supernatural wealth is coming your way this year.
Amen.
Please, young men, I want you people to listen to me very well. It is very, very important that you know that without power, you cannot obtain it. You cannot obtain it without power. It is the power of the covenant that delivers it to you. Let me quickly say that prosperity is not a citizen of any nation. Prosperity is not a citizen of any nation. Neither is poverty a native of your town. No. 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 The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 10, he became poor. He became. He wasn't born poor. He became poor. In the same manner, you will also become rich. And you shall be rich in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
So it is very, very important. Let me quickly put this in, because you see, I don't want any of you to misunderstand me thinking that, oh, God just want to bless me. The reason God is going to bless us financially, you must know the purpose. Because you see, if you don't know the purpose of prosperity, you will miss it. You must know the purpose why God is blessing you. What is the purpose for this supernatural wealth in these last days that God is releasing upon his church? Zechariah chapter 1 verse 17. He said, again, proclaim, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, my cities shall again spread out through prosperity. Did you see that? The cities of God, the churches of God, we spread out through prosperity. By the prosperity of God, his kingdom shall be spread abroad. Spread everywhere. And the Lord will again comfort Zion and will again choose Jerusalem. Did you see that? So what is God saying? People of God, I'm saying to us today, let us have a heart for God. In your finance, have a heart for God. Let your heart palpitate towards God. It is your heart for God that makes you a candidate for supernatural wealth. It is your heart for God that makes you a candidate for supernatural wealth of God's agenda for this end time. God has vowed that his cities, true prosperity, shall be spread abroad. And I tell you the truth, if God said it, you can be sure it will come to pass. You know, we are talking about God. We are not talking about a man. You know, I was meditating something today in the book of Numbers, and it amazed me. I was just simply taken. I kept laughing. I said, God, you are just awesome. Now, if you know the relationship between God and Moses, you will understand what I'm talking about. Now, no man, no Moses, no God, the way Moses knew God in the Old Testament. In fact, the Bible says Moses talked face to face with God. He wrote the book of Genesis that has passed all. God showed him all those things. So you can imagine, Moses came to a place where he thought he knew God. He went to God and he said, God, why have you burdened me with this entire people? Look, it's so burdened. They were crying all night that they want meat, they want flesh. And Moses said to, and God said to Moses, okay, Moses, I will give them flesh to eat. Not just for one day, not for 1 week, but for a whole 1 month. God, Moses stopped and said, God, do you know what you are talking about? Amongst me here are 600,000 men, 600,000 footmen. That is, these were armies. In the army, 600,000 of them. And you are saying you want to give them meat? For do we have to kill all, even if we kill all the flocks that we have right now, it's not enough. Oh, Moses thought he knew God. Listen to me, people of God. The God that we are talking about is a God that far surpasses any understanding you can think of. And God said to Moses, what are you talking about? God just brought one little wind. Just one wind. And they had meat for one whole month. That is the God I'm talking about. That is the God that promised you and I supernatural wealth. That is the God we're talking about. All we need to do is to have a heart for this God. Please, have a heart for this God. Look at what he said. He said the silver is mine, the gold is mine. He's looking for vessels. He's looking for channels that he will pass them through into the church. Through members, he will channel them. He's looking for members. And he says, if you are faithful in little, you will be faithful in much. So you need to be faithful. You need to be faithful where you are today. Be faithful in the little that is in your hand today. Be committed to God. Be committed to Him with the little that is in your hands today. I tell you the truth. Satan is out to resist you like he was out resisting Joshua the high priest. Joshua didn't want no filthiness to come upon him. But Satan was bent on him until the Lord had to rebuke Satan. And I see the Lord rebuking Satan on your behalf this morning.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth.
Amen.
So it is very, very important that you begin to have this strong desire to be a blessing to the house of God. To be a blessing to the people of God. Have a kingdom dream in your heart. Have a kingdom dream in your heart. God, bless me and I will build churches for you. Oh God, put the money in my hand and I will do this for the kingdom of God. I will do that for the kingdom of God. But start where you are today. Start where you are today. Be consistent. Be consistent in your financial stewardship. Consistency is the rule of the game. Consistency is what gives you power in the kingdom of God. Be consistent with what you are doing. It is very, very important. Don't just throw God's word aside. Be prompt in obedience to God's word. And the glory of God shall be your portion.
Amen.
The glory of God shall be your portion.
Amen.
The glory of God shall be your portion.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth.
Amen.
I prophesy upon you. By virtue of this fast that you have been involved all these days, the next 7 weeks will be your week of harvest of testimonies.
Amen.
The next 7 weeks shall be your weeks of harvest of testimonies.
Amen.
One after the other, the testimonies shall be dropping.
Amen.
One after the other, the testimonies shall be dropping.
Amen.
This God who brought quails from the sea, he brought quails to the people of Israel. He shall bring your testimonies to you.
Amen.
You will not pursue the blessing. The blessings will pursue you.
Amen.
The blessings shall pursue you.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ of
Amen.
Nazareth. Rise up to your feet here this morning and lift up your hands to God and let's give him praise. Let's give him thanks. Come on, somebody. If anything came across your way this morning, give God thanks. Give him praise. Come on, give God thanks. Give him praise. As you lift up your hands to him, thank him, thank him, thank him. If any word came to you today, thank him. If any word came to you today, I want you to thank him. Come on, somebody, thank him. If any word came to you today, thank him. Thank him for the word. Thank him. Appreciate him. Appreciate him. Appreciate him. Blessed be the name of the Lord. To you, God, we give all the praise. Come on now, somebody. Thank him. Thank him. Thank him because there is no God like him. Appreciate him. Father, we give you praise. Father, we give you thanks. Father, we bless you. In Jesus' precious name we pray.
Amen.
In Jesus' precious name we pray.
Amen.